Good morning. All right. Start my timer. Good. How are you guys doing? You doing good? Well, happy Thanksgiving, as been said, and Merry Christmas. It's coming. And if anyone's a Christmas hater, I hope we don't have any in here, because I'm a Christmas lover. And if you don't like Christmas as much, then I may lose points with you in that areas of specifics. But that's okay, because I'm not worried about it, because I love you anyway. The love is there, even if you're not a Christmas fan like I am. I still love you. There's still love. There's so much love. There's so much love. Everybody look at the person next to you and say, I love you. Now, that might have been awkward. So I'm sure you chose wisely in which direction you went there, depending on who you're sitting by. Yeah. Okay. Well, what I do understand, though, and I know there's people that during the holidays, it's difficult. Okay? So just because I'm a Christmas lover doesn't mean I don't understand that sometimes these seasons can be challenging. And emotions can rise up. And like Pastor Candy mentioned, you know, she's so happy that her kids are filled with joy. And sometimes we have family members that aren't so joyful. And so during these seasons, it gets complicated and difficult. What I believe, however, is as Jesus lovers, we can combat that in our families and in our workplaces and in culture. And we can go in with that opposite spirit of generosity and love and giving to put the devil back in his place where he belongs. Some of us go through difficult seasons, specifically during the holidays. It could be linked to a loss, or just it's like when you're already going through a hard time and then everyone around you seems super happy. It's like that spotlight is on you, and that's hard. Family, if that's you this morning, I think my message might speak to you. I hope so. It might not be for everyone, but it's for someone today. But what you're going through is real. It's important, but it's not the end. It's not even the means to the end. It's not over. You haven't reached the other side yet, but you will in Jesus' name. And, you know, to cheer you up, before I get into more of this, we're going to play a game. So what I need is 4 to 6 volunteers. You just come. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And if you could just form a circle sitting on the floor up here and facing each other. Yeah, like not, that would be weird if you like formed a circle but you were looking out. Yeah, that would be so strange. Leave a little bit of room behind you. This is not a hard game. I feel like we had more. You too. Yeah. I'm like, I'm sure I picked 6 out. I saw those hands. So this game is called, you have to form a full circle. So some of you will have your backs too. Yeah, and leave a little bit of room. You'll be fine. This will work out. I'm not worried. Okay, it's called dark, dark light. Okay, it's a little depressing, I know. But it's my game, and I named it. And I'm not about to change it in the middle of my sermon, guys. Like, I'm preaching right now. So it's pretty much duck, duck, goose. Okay? So if you've played that, now you're making room. If you've played that before, you know the game. Is everyone aware of the game?
Yes.
Okay. So they're going to play dark, dark light. Okay? And we're going to see how it goes. So I'm going to need to pick the it person, the fox. Who wants to be that person? Anyone want to be it? Anyone? Faith wants to be it. Stand up, Faith. So just, all right, so you guys know the game? Well, if you don't, you'll figure it out as they play. Okay, so you ready? So remember, don't say duck, duck. say dark, dark. Dark, dark, dark. And then when they jump up and they chase you, and if they tag you, then, okay, we got it. All right. Just when they jump up, just run. You ready? She'll be fine. She'll be fine. It's probably going to work out. Okay. You guys ready? Okay. Go. Oh, nice and loud. Daria. Run, 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 run. Oh, she got it. Okay, we'll play one more round. Sit down, Ms. Fox. Yeah, I think she just froze in the moment. There's a lot of pressure up there. There's a lot of pressure. All you guys are watching. Okay. Oh, okay, we can do it this way. That works. Okay, you ready? Okay, okay. They're nervous. Go, 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 go. Well, all right, let's give them a hand. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your awesome volunteers. You may take your seat. We appreciate you subjecting yourself to this morning, this dark, dark light game. This morning, round two, Light and Dark Places, our mini-series. BB kicked it off last week, took a super cool direction, which I hope challenged all of you. It challenged me. And this morning, I'm going to switch to another direction and talk about when we're going through dark seasons, that wilderness season, and that light in the midst of it. Sometimes our lives feel like that game. It's like dark, 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 dark. Where's the light? Am I going to be picked? Is the light going to shine on me? Am I going to get my moment to stand up and do something? Seasons of life can be so difficult to navigate under the best of circumstances. But you throw in an obstacle, you throw in a sickness, you throw in a family breakdown, or something difficult comes your way that you didn't see coming, and that darkness can just overtake us so fast, but you're not alone. You should not have to go through your dark wilderness season alone. And where you have come to be is not where you will come to stay. Let's go to Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. It so happened that after Pharaoh released the people, God didn't lead them by the road through the land of the Philistines, which was the shortest route. For God thought, if the people encounter war, they'll change their minds and they'll go back to Egypt. See, sometimes the obvious path is not the safest strategy. And sometimes the shortest distance is not the wisest way. Here's the setting. The Israelites have left Egypt, and it has been extremely stressful journey so far. Back when they were in Egypt, they were surrounded by plagues that the Lord sent, not against them, but against Pharaoh and his people. And the Lord had kept them safe during this season, but yet there's chaos all around. It's very stressful. And then they leave, they get the go. It's time to go. Yes, our light has come. This is awesome. We're getting out of this place, finally. And they start, and the journey's been rough. It's been tough. It's been long days. There's been unknowns. Pharaoh is literally on their tail, and his army. What's going to happen if we get caught? Like, I have a feeling it's going to be much worse than what we experienced. There's hopes. There's wonderings. Is this our chance at a better life? What about this leader guy, Moses? Can we even trust him, though? Because the dude doesn't have the greatest reputation. Keep in mind, this is the same guy who killed a man and then ran. I'm sure they were scared leaving Egypt. It wasn't the best life. Far from it. It was actually highly abusive and severely dysfunctional. But it was theirs. It was in an odd sense comfortable because it was familiar to them. And now they're leaving all of that behind. I would also imagine, of course, on the other extreme, this is exciting. Woo, a whole new world. Man, we're breaking free. This is going to be awesome. This is all we've been wanting. For generations, we've been longing for this. They begin, and then there's long days of travel. It's challenging. There's obstacles. There's frustrations to deal with. There's confusion. They've left, and that's awesome. But the reality is, not everything is awesome. I feel like the Lego men are not about to break out in song just yet. Everything is awesome. You guys know, this is old now, but I won't sing it all. It's still great. They've left, but they're now at a place that they didn't picture, okay? So here they are, and as horrible as it was back there in Egypt in slavery, right now, back there, doesn't quite seem as horrible as what it was. This, where they are now, isn't comfortable, isn't familiar, it's unknown. At least back there, I knew when I get up in the morning, this is what I do all day long. And it's hard, and then I go to bed, and then I get up. And they knew the day-to-day regimen. Here, they don't know what's going to come. They don't know what's happening. It's difficult. Will this journey ever end? We're so hungry. We're so tired. Exodus 16, verse 1-3. Then the whole community of Israel sent out from Elam and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin. That doesn't sound very good. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us to death. The Israelites have found themselves in the wilderness. This is not what they expected. Things are looking bleak. It's looking pretty dark. When Moses and Aaron painted the picture of the promised land, that's not what it looked like. They talked about milk and honey. They talked about abundance. They talked about all the good things. They talked about freedom, comfort, sunny days, cool nights. It was going to be everything we'd ever hoped and dreamed of, maybe even more. Here, we don't have anything. We have minimal provision. It's long days. It's rough nights. It's dark over our lives right now. I don't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. How many of us can relate to being in the middle of an unexpected something at some point in your life with no end in sight? So here they are, between the problem, which was Egypt, their past, and the promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. Thank God they're out of Egypt, right? This is great, right? See, the thing is, right here, right now, it doesn't seem so great, and they're not so sure. Because the promise, Canaan, is nowhere to be seen. We're not even close. And what they used to picture, the vision that they had of what it would be like, it was beautiful, it was colorful, it was exciting. Now it's blurry, it's gray. It's hard to even know what those lines were anymore. Maybe you can understand, maybe you can relate to this if you're going through a tough time. Or if you've ever been through a tough time, or if you know of someone that's experiencing difficulty. Just how you pictured maybe yourself to be at this season in your life is maybe not where you are. This season, you thought it would be a lot different than this. It would be like when I was prophesied over, and that person said that you're going to do this, and you're going to go here, and you're going to experience this, and woo, it's going to be awesome, and you're going to be all of these things. And it's not happening yet. And I thought at this point in my life I would be there, but I'm not. How did I get in the middle of this? How am I not there yet? How did I have to deal with this sickness? How did I get in the middle of this divorce? How did I lose this person in my life to death? How did this happen? How am I not there yet? And what you had hoped for, what you had longed for, what was prophesied gets buried deeper, deeper, deeper as each day goes by and you don't get there yet. It's like another day. It's happened again. Nothing's changed. Just wandering, just walking through. That feeling when you first had the idea or you first had the dream, it's gone. That excitement. We used to talk about it with friends. It's not there. You don't feel it anymore. The Israelites are hungry. I mean, they're on this journey. They're tired. They got problems. I mean, not like they had, but they got new problems. They're not convinced this is going to turn around. Maybe this is where the maybes come in. Maybe Moses was wrong. Maybe he missed it. He's made mistakes before. Dude's not perfect. Or maybe I heard wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have left there. Maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. I mean, now I can only remember the good parts. And the thing that 3 months ago, 12 months ago, 5 years ago, you walked away from because you're excited to step into something new, to step into the dream, to step into the promise, to go to where God's leading you, that you begin to long for again. That risk that you were taking, that act of obedience, that faith step, you begin to wish, maybe I shouldn't have done that. You begin to second guess yourself. Maybe I could have done something different back there. Maybe I could have prevented this from happening, this problem that now I'm in the middle of. Maybe I could have prayed more. Maybe I could have worked faster. Maybe I could have just been smarter. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. And that's one of my favorite verses. When Faith was born, she doesn't know I'm going to share this, but I share about her all the time. She's fine. When Faith was born, we were so excited, this new baby girl. This is going to be awesome. We have our boy. We have our girl. It's going to be great. Our family, just growing the family. And we didn't know. Faith was born with a very complex heart defect, as many as you know, and she's been through multiple heart surgeries and not expected to live. They were wrong. We had our expectations set on what this was going to look like. And when Faith was born and suddenly everything changed and my world fell out from underneath me. Not knowing if my baby girl was going to survive. Talk about wilderness. Talk about, this is going to be great, this is going to be awesome, we have the perfect family now, to what is happening? How do you explain that to a big 3-year-old brother? And then we begin, we invited some people into the situation, some prayer warriors. We didn't invite everyone at that point. We didn't invite people who would just talk about the problem. We invited people who would pray and declare the goodness of God over the problem. And they begin to pray over Faith and release healing and the goodness of God and all those things. And we were like, we were very, very weak, but we were like, yes, God is going to provide a miracle. an instantaneous fix. And he is going to give her a new heart in this moment, and then everything's going to go back to what we had planned. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. Oh, God showed up. Oh, did he ever? I could be up here for the next 12 months just telling you all the good things that he's done in her life, the miracles, how she's defied the medical odds, how they spoke one thing out and she did another. I mean, how God came through again and again and again and again. There has been a healing at work since day one, and he is not done yet. But we have journeyed this. We have journeyed this. It has been difficult. Faith has been difficult. The journey that we started in believing for faith and walking out her life, she's now picked up. And she walks it out in faith, in trust, in belief, in hope of full, complete restoration, a brand new heart. 12 years in, going strong. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is the tree of life. Well, what does that even mean? What does deferred mean? To defer is to put something off or to postpone. Is your hope postponed? Is your hope put off to a later time? Do you feel stuck in a wilderness season or in a dark time where you're just navigating through, you're just day in, day out, I'm just trying to hold on long enough to get to the light again, to get to my promise? Some of you are like, no, actually, I've just given up. Hold up. What if I told you that the long route is not the wrong route? What if I told you this morning that this long route that you're on is not the wrong route, and that God has actually purposely positioned you to enter your promised land through the way of the wilderness? He doesn't cause pain. He doesn't cause problems. He doesn't put that on you, but he has positioned you in the middle of it to come out of it. That he didn't necessarily design the shortest route for you. Like it was said in the scripture, he didn't send them the most direct path. He sent them the longer route because there was other things that he knew about. There was other situations that he was aware of. See, God sees everything. He knows everything. He knows your situation. He sees things we can't see. He knows what you need. He knows what needs to be developed through that season that you do not get with the quick miracle. Things are rough for the Israelites. They begin to complain. Pretty standard humans. We don't understand. We complain. We get uncomfortable. We complain. We don't know the plan. We complain. Okay, this is what I think about. Can you imagine leading that many people? I think that's what I think about when I read this story. What was that like for Moses? All those people, different thoughts, different opinions, different personalities, some crazy people, you know, crazy irrational ideas and thoughts. Moses, did you deliver us from Egypt just to die in the desert? Seriously, who said that? Who just said that? Like, did you just say that out loud? What kind of twisted man would he be to free them from generations of slavery just to let them die in the desert on purpose? This is my plan for their lives. But yet someone said it. Some lazy people, I'm sure. How much longer? My legs are tired. I can't do this anymore. Honey, can you go to the front? It might take you 3 days to get there, but can you go to the front and tell Moses I have a bad leg? My feet are sore. My knee is dislocated. Your child, yes, your child, right there, just vomited all over the place. And the baby, oh, that diaper, it's just explosion. Yeah. No, I'm going to freak out. How about those people with the strong leadership qualities? Moses, I was pondering. And I was doing a little recruiting, you know, with my skills. And, you know, the people like my commanded authority. So to say it bluntly, we don't feel like you are the best man for this job. And we, the people, have decided that this is the next course of action. What about the attitude people? You know, the people who know that they can do better. If God had chose me, we would literally already be there. Or the too smart for their own good folks, according to my calculation, their Apple Watch, the most efficient route would have taken a mere 11 days, but yet we're going on months strong. This is a waste of time, folks, and time is money. Time is money. And then there's the people who question the authority. Moses, are you even qualified to lead these many people at this time in your life? What experiences do you have? What credentials do you have? Do you have any sort of degree on your wall? I could go on and on and on and on and on. I'm sure there's a few good people as well. I'm sure. But it does say they were all complaining and murmuring and gossiping, so I don't know. But there were over 600,000 men, and then there was more, so probably about 2.5 million. People. Yeah, now you hear what I'm saying. So Aaron, I can hear Moses. What is it now? Well, they're hungry. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm kind of hungry too. I'll pray about that. I would think that at the beginning, Moses was like super pumped to help. I'm just here to serve, guys. I'm your leader, and to lead, you must be the greatest servant of all. So I will serve and do whatever you need. But as time went on, I feel like he was like, not today. Not today. I'm sure also part of the reason why the Israelites struggled so much was the trust factor. Not just trust in their leader, although I'm sure they battled with that, but trust in their God. Really, after all these years, this is going to happen? Been waiting a long time. But here's the deal, guys. And if you're there, and God's called you out of something, and you're stepping out in faith on something, or you're believing for healing, or you're believing for a miracle, or there's something that you're going through that you're like, I know the promise is there. God's told me. God's not going to let that thing fail. It was his idea. He didn't come up with it. It was his idea. If God said it, that settles it. If God said it, that settles it. Exodus 16, verse 11 to 15. Let's go there again. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the murmurings of the Israelites. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat. Between the two evenings you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a fine, round, and flake-like thing, as fine as hoarfrost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, manna, which literally translates, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. So God provides the bread and the meat because, you know, they're hungry and they're like, a steak sandwich sounds good right now. So this will probably fix everything. And the bread shows up, and they walk over to it. They bend over, and they say, manna, what is it? wait a minute. Well, what is this? This doesn't look right. This is not Egypt bread. You know, when we were sitting around with all those refillable pots of bread, that it doesn't look like that. This is different. Is this what we have to eat? This right here? This whatever it is, forever? We have to eat this forever now? That what? See, isn't it so funny how we get stuck in the now? God, they needed something, God provided something, and now their provision, their current daily now provision, this is it? See, God has already told us the end. And in many of our situations, we already know the promise. If you don't know like a specific thing that he's called you to or that you're believing for, if it's more general, you know what's in the word, right? So you know there's hope and there's a future. You know that there's healing and miracles. You know that there's provision for every need all the time. So we know that there's a land flowing with milk and honey. He's given us those promises that we know are in the scripture. He's planted dreams inside of us. But because we haven't arrived yet, because it hasn't happened yet, it's like, is it real? It's like somehow that light being off, so to speak, in our lives means those things don't exist anymore. Listen, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Just because you can't see the things in the dark doesn't mean they're not there. I mean, you tell your kids that all the time. You know, like what is in the light is in the dark. It's, you know, it's the same thing. So if there's no monsters in the light, there's no monsters in the dark, you know? So if those things, when the light is on in your life and God's shining on you and everything's awesome and it's wonderful and we're gonna step into the promised land and I'm there and it's so good, if you can see it then, when the light is off and you're walking through a wilderness, it's still there. Manna, what is this? What is this place? This isn't right. I would have been better off back there when I had all the real bread that I like. Are you there? Have you left your Egypt in expectation of your promised land, but you found yourself anywhere but the land of promise? You got your deliverance, but you never came into freedom. See, there's a difference. And we can get stuck in that dark place and we begin to think, this is my life, whatever it is. I didn't picture it, I didn't want it, I didn't long for it, whatever. It's probably what it is now. I'm just at a stage now where things are probably not going to change. And the Israelites found themselves there. They were delivered from slavery, believing for better days, but they were not free in their promise. They are here in the middle of nowhere. They cry out for food. They get the food. It doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. Now, if we look at the manna for a moment, if we just take a second to look at it, God's plan was not for the manna to last forever, right? If you know the story, you know that, because after a day, it's spoiled. So just a couple things offhand that speaks of is one, daily dependence on the Father, and two, I believe it was to show them that this was not the promise. This was a prophetic sign. This was an indicator. This was current provision to carry through, but it was never meant to stay. See, they were never meant to stay there eating whatever it was. It said in the scripture it was placed on the face of the wilderness. It wasn't placed on the ground of the promised land. On the face of the wilderness this was placed. And maybe that's where you find yourself, where you've left and you're coming, but you're in the middle and you feel stuck. But you were never meant just to stay in deliverance. You were meant to go on into freedom. If we come out of one thing, but we don't continue into another, and we walk through this dark season, if we never continue and reach that freedom, we are at risk to succumb to the middle life where we never quite reach the fullness of the goodness of God, where we never quite fulfill the dreams that he put in our heart. We kind of stay in a perpetual state of middle, of average, of pain, of incomplete, of darkness. where it's some good days and we get, there's like good things that happen. But it's not the promise. See, God called you out to bring you in. And just because your outer deliverance came doesn't mean your inner freedom did. But there are greater days ahead. Come on. There are greater days ahead. Milk and honey still do exist. I'm here to tell you, it's on the horizon of your life. And if you're waiting, I'm telling you, it's coming and you are closer than you think. And maybe you've been scraping by, living off manna, whatever it is, and you've just been eating the manna. That manna was only meant to sustain you in the in-between, the time in between your problem and your promise. See, sometimes we look at the manna, at our means of substance that was just meant as sustenance for a moment, and we think, this is it. This is all there is, whatever it is. It didn't turn out as I dreamed. It didn't turn out as I thought, but this is, I guess I just have to accept it. No, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. Don't hold on to your wilderness manna like that's it. The promised land food's coming. There's a light at the end of your tunnel. It may be just a speck right now. You're like, I don't even know if I can see it. That's okay. It's there. It's there. And it'll get bigger every day. Don't let your wilderness manna take the place of your promised land super grapes. You guys know the end of that story. Those grapes they carried on poles. Those are huge grapes. It won't work if you try to do that. Why? Because it was never meant to. See, we look at despair at what God was only meant for a season because we think this is all there is. We postpone our hope. We defer our hope because we think this is it. It isn't what we expected because you didn't think of the journey in between. You didn't know there was going to be a wilderness. No one told you that. So you thought when you stepped out that you would immediately step in, and because you thought that that would be your promised land, it's confusing because it's actually your wilderness. And God's giving you manna that will sustain you till you get there, but then you think, this is the promise. This is the promise. The promise doesn't look like I thought it would because it's not the promise. It's not the promise. That's why it doesn't look right. We take what God meant for good. That was meant to encourage us. Eat that bread. That's good bread. Sustain us. And we let it discourage us and disillusion us because we're picturing our wilderness as our promised land. You wouldn't confuse the dark with the light in your house, and we shouldn't do it with our own lives. Verse 16, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather as much of it as he needs. Take an omer for each person according to the number of people in the tent. The Israelites did so. Some gathered much, some little. He who had gathered a large amount had no excess, and he who gathered a little had no lack. Moses said, let none of it be left over, but they did not listen. And some left the supply until morning. It bred worms, became foul, and rotten. And of course, Moses was a little upset. See, some of us are so worried about the future, we can't trust God in the present. When God called our family to leave California, see, we were here, we were Canadians, we moved from Canada, we moved to California, and then after 5 short years, he called us to move back to Canada. That was very confusing for me. Because we were called here, and since I was a little girl, California was on my heart. I didn't even know anything about California. I live nowhere near California, but God had put something in my life for this state. So when we were here for 5 years, and I'm like, this is great. I'm there. I'm in my land of promise. It's awesome. And then God very clearly and specifically called us to go to the Toronto area. I was devastated. But I did value obedience, and I did trust him more than I trust myself. So I said yes, and we started on this journey back to Canada at a different place, but we went back. And the 3 years in Toronto were very, very hard for me. Very hard. It was my wilderness. The people were incredible. the church, the opportunity that the Father, I feel like, handed us on a silver platter was nothing we deserved, and so humbling, but so cool, so cool. We were so appreciative. Nothing was lost on us. We were so thankful. God did amazing things. We saw creative miracles, like we were talking about this morning. There was one service where this guy and his wife came in, and he was legally blind. Like he had a cane, like he could not see. He could not see. And some of our ministry team prayed over him that his eyes would be open. Boom, just like that, eyes open. And he joined the family. He kept coming to church. So there was like relationship there. Still sees. It's all good. Drives. Got his license. It's all good. I mean, we saw things over and over and over and over. We saw really amazing things there. There was miracles in the middle of my wilderness. But it was hard for me. It was hard. I mean, I built friendships that will last forever. Some of the most kind and generous people I had ever met, but in my heart there was this pull where I was like, I know I'm supposed to be here, but I don't feel like I'm called here. And what I didn't realize, what I didn't know in that moment, was that we were on assignment. It wasn't meant to be forever. It never was. I didn't know that. I thought that in between where I was and where I am now. This is a promised land, by the way, if you're wondering. Yeah. I thought that was it. And I thought that I had to let that dream in my heart, the God dream, go forever. It was never meant to last forever. I was talking to a lady one day during that 3-year assignment, and she said, she had no idea, but she was just speaking from her own life, and she said, you know, Renee, if I had just learned to trust God more with what was ahead in my daily regimen, my daily journey, like, I would have been so much more content in life. And I was like, whoa, you are prophetically speaking to me right now. See, when we lose sight of what God has ahead, when we forget what he's promised us, it's so easy just to lay down and die in the wilderness, to die in the desert, to let our dreams die, to let our hopes die, to let our joy die. The Israelites became so focused on what they could see, they forgot to believe in what they couldn't. Pick yourself up this morning. Somebody turn the light on. Come on. It's still there. The dream is still there. The promise is still there. Hope is still alive. The dream is real. It's not an illusion. The promised land exists. But you will never enter your promised land if you stay in your wilderness. And if you let that dark season of life suck the life out of you, lie to you, discourage you, beat you down, tell you this is probably it, then you may never enter your true freedom. Because the deliverance out doesn't guarantee the freedom to enter in. Walt Disney said this. He said, all the adversity I'd had in my life, all the troubles and obstacles have strengthened me. You may not realize it when it happens, but a kick in the teeth may be the best thing in the world for you. Now, I'm not going to walk around and kick everybody in the teeth this morning, but I'm just saying, don't give up. If you're going through a hard time, if you're like, Renee, it can't get any worse, then I'm here to tell you, it can only get better. It can only get better. Don't give up on your promise. Walt Disney was fired as a news reporter for lacking imagination. Don't sleep away in your dark season. Charge ahead, even in the dark. Charge ahead. It might be a little risque. It might be a little scary, but go for it. Go for it. 11 days for the Israelites turned into 40 years. It doesn't have to for you. It doesn't have to for me. The Israelites were delivered, but they weren't free. They were saved, but not healed. It doesn't have to be that way for you. It doesn't have to be that way for me. See, what we do with our deliverance matters. It will impact our access into that next season. So let's make the choice. When we look at the manna, when we look at the daily provision, What is this? Understand, this might be exactly what you need to sustain you, to get you through. So what's our part? Quit complaining. Start trusting and don't stop believing. Now somebody wants to break out in song right now. Yeah, we all do. There will always be a reason to give up. There will always be a greater reason not to. When you look around and you think, God, how did I get here? Why did this thing happen to me? What is this? I'm looking on the ground. I don't know what this bread-like, flake-like, frost-like stuff is. See it as a sign of hope. What, this? See it as the sustenance keeping you alive as you journey toward your promise. See it as your light in your dark place. This is a word of encouragement this morning. See, the manna was never meant to defer your hope, but it was rather to give your hope holding power. Your light is here and your light is coming. See, your light is here and your light is coming. Dark, 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 dark light. I believe, and I'm going to end with this, we are in a season of quick return on supernatural investment. I believe we are in a season of prayers answered and favor attained. And there are pastors and leaders all over this great country that I know stand with me on this and are believing for these three things. Acceleration. Things that normally take years happen suddenly. Unusual occurrences. Things that never happen occur against ridiculous odds. And supernatural interventions. The way things come about make no earthly sense. I've seen it in my life over the last several months, and I want to stand with you this morning to see it in yours. Is there anyone you're like, man, I need some of that? Anyone? Let's stand. Let's stand. If you're in that place, maybe you're in a dark season or a wilderness, or maybe you just, the whole message was just pure entertainment, but the last three things that I just mentioned, you're like, yeah, I want some of that. Then I believe that the presence of God is in this place to release these things for you. I've prayed into this. I've laid on the ground over this. I've listened what God wanted to do this morning. And I believe that there's acceleration, unusual occurrences, and supernatural interventions ready to be released in your lives. Creative miracles, healings, provision, whatever you need this morning. So if you need that, I just want you to raise your hands to heaven. Raise your hands to your daddy, your father in heaven, saying, Daddy, pick me up. I need up this morning because I need something from you. And I'm going to release the goodness of God over you in every area. So, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you've done this morning. And we thank you for what you're doing right now. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you are pure access to the Father, and that when we call on your name and we agree on anything according to your word and your will, it shall be done in your name. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead us and you guide us and you direct us into all the goodness of God and the fullness of his provision for our lives. So right now, in Jesus' name, in the name of the Father and in the name of Holy Spirit, I release the goodness of God on your people, on everyone here that has a need that has not yet been met, everyone walking through a dark season, everyone going through the wilderness on the way to their land of promise. I release an acceleration in Jesus' name. An acceleration that it might seem like it should normally take years, but suddenly is coming on your life. I release unusual occurrences. The things that never happen, if you need that, it just never happens to me, that they would occur today against ridiculous odds in Jesus' name. And I release and declare over each one supernatural interventions. Come on, supernatural interventions, creative miracles in Jesus' name, supernatural interventions that the way things will come about, what you're believing for, what you're hoping for, what you're standing for, what you've been contending for, will come about even though it makes no earthly sense. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, come on, amen.